Chapter 11 Is Sexual Orientation Biologically Determined? Question: What determines sexual orientation? A common belief held by many laymen and some psychologists is that sexual orientation results from an innate process. Many homosexuals and lesbians strongly agree with this belief. However, if there is an innate process involved with sexual orientation, it could not be genetic, in the usual sense, because there is no evidence that homosexuals can produce offspring that are homosexual in a statistical way that would relate to genetics. Of course, this might shed some doubt on the theory, but it does not rule it out. There might be variations in hormonal levels during pregnancy that might affect the developing fetus in such a way as to produce an innate tendency toward homosexuality. Some research has been done with pregnant monkeys that involved experimentally manipulating hormonal levels in their blood. The offspring developed into homosexuals. I do not know if this experiment was confirmed, and I do not remember the original source. Thus, one could argue that there are homosexuals that have some innate predisposition toward homosexuality. However, when we look at history, culture, contemporary society, and the behavior of people in unusual environments, the evidence is that sexual orientation in human beings is learned. A relatively large percentage of people in some cultures engage in homosexual activities. Some cultures have more homosexuals than other cultures. Certain ancient Greek cultures supported the concept of homosexuality. Other cultures deplored such behavior. Our own culture was in this category until fairly recently. Homosexuality was considered a mental disorder and it was justification for discrimination. Thus, the results of different cultural values affects the amount of homosexual behavior and no doubt the number of individuals that are exclusively homosexual. There are individuals that would debate the above. They would argue that there is a difference between homosexual behavior and an individual that is exclusively homosexual. They would state that the homosexual is innately homosexual, which excludes the possibility of heterosexuality. However, if this was true for homosexuals, it would also apply to heterosexuals. That is, there would be an innate predisposition for heterosexuality, which would exclude the possibility of homosexual behavior. The evidence is that heterosexuals under certain cultural or environmental conditions can engage in homosexuality on an ongoing basis. This often happens in prison. There are even heterosexuals that change to an exclusively homosexual lifestyle and vice versa. Hence, the argument fails. Thus, when we look at history and culture and all the evidence, it appears that sexual orientation in human beings is a learned response. There is a possibility that hormonal imbalances during fetal development or other physiological factors might affect sexual orientation in monkeys under certain conditions. One could argue that similar factors might affect sexual orientation in human beings. I believe this might be true in very rare cases, but generally speaking, it is probably incorrect. There never has been any scientifically confirmed evidence for any type of physiological cause for sexual orientation in human beings. The quantity of evidence of environmental factors determining sexual orientation is overwhelming if we remember to examine history, culture, and environmental variations. However, many psychologists and most of the published literature insist that the evidence is not conclusive. They would insist that there is no detectable difference in the case histories of heterosexuals and homosexuals. They might point out that they cannot find a significant difference in child-rearing practices of parents of homosexuals and heterosexuals. The first part of their error is that they are looking for a common cause for homosexuality. Most likely, there are many different types of factors that cause homosexuality. That is, people probably become homosexual for different reasons. Another part of the error is that such psychologists are not examining history, culture, and unusual environments. They are simply ignoring the evidence. But an interesting question is raised. Why do some people become homosexual and others heterosexual in our contemporary society? This is answered in the following paragraphs. I believe that sexual orientation and other adult roles develop in two stages. This theory is discussed in detail in Chapter 15, a two-stage model of role development. This process of development is based on learning and related psychological dynamics. The first stage involves the development of a predisposition for one or both sexual orientations, which generally takes place in childhood. This developmental process, whatever the sexual orientation is, might be quite different for each individual. For example, one individual might learn to focus his sexual fantasies toward heterosexuality and another individual may have not learned such a focus, or he may have inadvertently learned to focus his sexual fantasies on his own sex, perhaps because of unpleasant experiences with the opposite sex. Another possible component is one individual can be more inclined toward copying the behavior of parents and another might be more inclined to experiment with sexuality. Still another component might involve the learning of a distaste for either homosexuality or heterosexuality. The first is often the result of deliberate moral training and the second can be inadvertently taught as a result of certain types of experiences in a disruptive household. There are probably hundreds of other components that might cause a predisposition toward a sexual orientation. The set of components that results in a predisposition is probably not the same for any two individuals. This explains the difficulty in finding a common set of components as a causative factor of homosexuality. The predisposition S that develop in childhood may not actually develop into a specific sexual lifestyle in adolescence or adulthood, according to my theory, unless appropriate encounters with other individuals or stimuli takes place later in life. For example, if an individual developed a predisposition for heterosexuality in marriage, he would have to meet an individual of the opposite sex for such a reality to manifest. If an individual has a predisposition for homosexuality, he would have to meet other homosexuals for the predisposition to develop into a homosexual lifestyle. Of course, a person can develop into a heterosexual or homosexual in terms of preferred sexual fantasies, without ever meeting any sexual partners. But the environmental components that the person encountered in adolescence and beyond are still involved, such as erotic literature, television, movies, and the behavior of other people in the environment. A predisposition can evoke selective perception and interpretation, which relates to the nature of the predisposition. For example, if a male developed a heterosexual predisposition in childhood, he may focus on the attractive women on the television screen and think of them as sexual entities. If he developed a homosexual predisposition, he may focus on the attractive males that he sees on television, and think of them in sexual terms. This second stage of the development of sexual orientation also involves a conditioning response. The person is conditioned to prefer a specific category of sexual objects such as men, women or both sexes as a result of repeated sexual contact. The contact can take place in reality and or in fantasy. This conditioned response is not necessarily an absolute. It may change in certain cases as a result of experiences later in life. In general, if an individual has a number of voluntary physical and sexual contacts with the opposite sex relatively early in life, he will most likely prefer a heterosexual lifestyle. This is most likely to be true if positive consequences are associated with the experience. And just the opposite is also true. If an individual has such experiences with the same sex, he may prefer a homosexual lifestyle. Thus, once a sexual orientation is conditioned, it is quite difficult to change. Even if the individual truly wanted to change his orientation. However, homosexuals do change to heterosexuality in some cases and heterosexuals also change to homosexuals. And no doubt there are cases where both of the orientations change to bisexuals. There are people that engage in homosexual behavior but do not consider themselves homosexual. Examples are some prisoners and male prostitutes that serve homosexuals. These individuals generally claim to prefer heterosexual interactions. This suggests an interesting question. If sexual orientation involves a conditioning response, why don't these people become homosexual? There are a number of factors that are involved with the answer to this question. The first is these individuals do not have a predisposition for an exclusively homosexual lifestyle. The second is most of them have been conditioned into a heterosexual orientation at an earlier point in time. Third, they have a specific reason for engaging in homosexual activity, which changes the psychological dynamics. For the prostitute, it is money. For the prisoner, it is a substitute for heterosexual interactions. Fourth, many of these individuals are really either homosexuals or bisexuals, but the concept does not fit their self-image, so they choose to call themselves heterosexuals. Many homosexuals probably also developed a predisposition for heterosexuality. Thus, if they met pleasant members of the opposite sex that were willing to interact sexually, before they became conditioned into homosexuality, they would probably have developed into heterosexuals. This, of course, is not true with all homosexuals. There are some homosexuals that started out as heterosexuals and experimented with homosexuality at a later point in time, which led to a totally homosexual lifestyle. In such cases, the earlier heterosexual experiences may have had unpleasant consequences associated with them. Such individuals most likely had a predisposition to experiment with sexuality, which resulted in encounters with homosexuals. As stated above, according to my theory, there are probably not a common set of causes for the development of sexual orientation. Each person develops a predisposition for one or more sexual orientations in childhood, which develops into a heterosexual, homosexual or bisexual lifestyle as the result of sexual encounters later in life. However, The most common elements in the development of homosexuality might be a willingness to experiment with sexuality, a failure to learn to focus sexual fantasies toward heterosexuality in the developmental period before late adolescence. The factors contained in the above two sentences constitutes a predisposition. In addition, the individual probably has a number of homosexual experiences relatively early in life, which results in a conditioning response toward one's own sex. This is a second stage. As already explained, this or any such developmental sequence might apply only to a minority of homosexuals. Human beings develop into a specific sexual orientations for reasons that are probably quite different. Is homosexuality a psychological disorder? This is a value judgment. If a homosexual is truly dissatisfied with her sexual orientation, then it is a psychological disorder. This would also be true of a bisexual or a heterosexual. On the other hand, if a homosexual is satisfied with her sexual orientation, then it should not be considered a disorder of any type. That is, it is truly a value judgment and each individual should make such a judgment for themselves. It is, of course, statistically abnormal behavior, but it certainly should not be considered a sickness or a psychological disorder by society. What are the political and psychological implications of the theories of sexual orientation? Most homosexuals and lesbians support the idea that sexual orientation is innate. I believe the reason for this is partly psychological and partly political. If sexual orientation is innate, the homosexual does not have to feel guilty about his orientation. His parents do not have to feel guilty either, because it was simply an unusual act of nature, which nobody can help. The political benefits of supporting the innate theory of sexual orientation are also quite significant. If people are born with an innate sexual orientation, the homosexual cannot be held responsible for his unusual behavior. However, there is a far more significant political issue. If homosexuals are innately homosexual, they cannot convert young people into a homosexual lifestyle. And thus, nobody has to be concerned about homosexuality spreading throughout society. Nobody has to worry about their children being seduced into homosexuality. Their children will either be heterosexual or homosexual, and this would be predetermined by nature. Thus, the innate theory conveys the idea that there is no reason to be afraid of homosexuals, which is certainly good politics. The theories that state that sexual orientation is developed as a result of environmental experiences might be threatening to most people, including homosexuals. If there are environmental influences, then the homosexual might feel that he is responsible for his behavior and thus feel guilty, which is probably unwarranted because he is not harming anyone. Some people might be concerned that their children might be seduced into a homosexual or bisexual lifestyle. I believe this risk is generally quite small. The only people that can be seduced into such a lifestyle are people who have a predisposition for a homosexual lifestyle. However, I believe if we want to be realistic, there is probably some risk. The way homosexuals become homosexuals is generally by a conditioning response from sexual interactions with other homosexuals, according to the model I presented above. However, I do not believe that such a risk justifies any discrimination against homosexuals. Perhaps such a risk justifies a much higher level of supervision and guidance for adolescents. The guidance could be toward early physical and sexual interactions of a responsible nature with members of the opposite sex. If such experiences have negative consequences, the dynamics may push the person toward homosexuality in some rare cases. Or perhaps, a better understanding and acceptance of the sexual choices made by young people is needed in our society. The word choice was used in the above paragraph, but the homosexual or heterosexual is not usually making a choice, with some exceptions, of course. The individual is led into a sexual orientation by environmental circumstances, involving a process of socialization as explained in the preceding paragraphs. As already stated, there is a conditioning response involved with the process. Some individuals may be involved with homosexual encounters for relatively brief periods, which do not allow a strong conditioning response to take place, especially if they have heterosexual experiences as well. Others might get more involved with homosexual behavior, which can result in a strongly conditioned response toward the same sex. And once an individual is conditioned into a homosexual lifestyle, she is most likely to attribute her circumstances to innate factors, which she has no control over, and the rest of society will agree with her.